Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Covering it as always and doing her usual great job will be Audrey Snyder. Audrey, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Hey, Steve. Happy almost Friday, right?
Yeah, we're sort of there. You know, it's close enough. I mean, Minnesota's playing Nebraska tonight. Good enough for me. All right. You wrote a column, and this probably was based off what Nick Saban had said about not releasing a depth chart. The only part that was comical to me about what he said was they'll see it and they'll think they're second and third team. Well, gee, Nick, when you tell them, okay, twos are up, you do that every day to them, Nick.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious, right, Steve? Like, you know, hearing all this stuff, but my initial thought was like, okay, Nick, like when you guys are practicing, do you not break down into ones, twos, and threes? Like, come on, you know?
Yeah. All right. After the first game, everybody's already at least established a lineup. Is it more for you an issue because it's the opening game?
You know, and here's the thing for me. Like, I am not surprised that Penn State doesn't release a depth chart. They haven't the last few years. Honestly, Steve, it's fine with me because I think it makes it more rewarding for the reporters who are at everything. Like, we have a pretty good idea of what that three deep looks like.
Sure.
But for me, it's the secrecy and silliness around it, right? Like, for me, it's fascinating that Penn State is not leaning into publicly that, like, hey, Drew Aller's your guy. Fans are excited about that. Like, you should lean into that instead of, okay, well, Neil Brown's not going to say who his quarterback is, so James isn't going to say who his is. Like, to me, the whole thing is just kind of laughable. And then you've got Tom Allen, who's like, yeah, we're not going to tell Ohio State who our kicker is. Like, come on, you know? It's just to me, just a really weird kind of just where we're at in college football, right? If you're not required to submit something like that, you're not going to. Like, I completely get it from the coach's perspective, but yeah, the excuses that people are coming up with for not releasing depth charts to me is just laughable at this point.
No offense, I don't think Tom Allen's kicker is going to be kicking a lot. All right, so so I'm not all that worried about it. This team, what are some things? Everything is always going to be in an opening game context. Mm-hmm. What are some areas that you want to see this team as points of interest for you that could be writing points when you start writing next week?
I think the obvious one is the one that everybody's been talking about all offseason, and that's the quarterback. You know, for me, it's difficult to gauge off of one game, right? And we're going to learn more this week than we will next week against Delaware, so you have that context.
Sure, right.
But, yeah, I mean, you want to see Drew Aller make some big-time throws. To me, I think there's a chance for Penn State, especially nationally, to open even more eyes if they come out and Drew makes a nice few deep shots and says, hey, you know, we know this run game is really good, but you're going to have to really be cognizant of this quarterback as well and the ways he can beat you. The thing that James Franklin said Wednesday night after practice when I asked him just plainly, you know, what do you hope to learn about Drew Aller this Saturday, he said he doesn't want to see him do too much. And I think that's the other side of this, right? It's the week one, game one jitters, and how do you manage that? So for me, that's always a writing point. But beyond that, I'm really curious, middle linebacker, we've heard so much that Kobe King's had a really good preseason. How much has he pushed Tyler Elston? Is there a new starter there? I'm curious to see how that kind of shakes out. And then obviously, you know, the freshmen that they've greenlit already, Tony Rojas and King Mack, among them. I want to see what those guys look like. And it's just a really nice opportunity, especially because it's under the lights. It feels like you're going from preseason to like almost October in some regards, just because of it being a more interesting game than kind of your traditional season opener.
What do you think about West Virginia, or do you have any read on West Virginia?
Yeah, not a great read either. I mean, I think the thing here that you need to kind of fall back on is you look at the way that they've recruited, you look at the way that Penn State's recruited, it is vastly different. West Virginia is always a team that seemingly has had a lot of junior college guys. They've kind of always built their roster that way, regardless of who the coach is. So for me, it's kind of, okay, you look at it, on paper, their offensive line should be pretty good. Well, I'm expecting Penn State's defensive line is going to be pretty good. I mean, I don't see any particular area here where West Virginia has an edge. But the thing that is interesting to me, at least, and for a lot of people who follow recruiting closely, this will be interesting to them too, I'm sure. Rodney Gallagher III is somebody, you know, yeah, one of the top players in the state. Does he play this week? I mean, he's listed at like 5'11", 160, making the transition from quarterback at high school to wide receiver. So I don't know if we see him or not, but that's something. Another name of interest for Penn State fans is West Virginia wide receiver Devin Carter. He was committed to Penn State this winter out of the transfer portal from NC State, but then at the last minute switched to West Virginia. Well, he's expected to be their number one receiver. So, you know, Penn State has plenty of their own questions at wide receiver, but West Virginia does as well.
The Landon Tangwall retirement, your thoughts when you heard that?
Really sad. Sad and surprising. Yeah. You know, you look at it and you just absolutely hate to see that kind of thing. And my interactions with Landon have always been really positive. Definitely one of the better, more outgoing personalities on that team. And you hate to see that kind of thing. And, you know, obviously Penn State for at least the last week had a pretty good idea that this was going to be happening. So I think that's important to keep in mind too for fans. Like, James Franklin isn't caught off guard by this. Like, this is something that they were hoping wouldn't get to this point, but something that they knew was a really good chance might happen. So they've got, you know, their contingency plan in place with J.B. Nelson. I do think it makes, you know, these non-conference games more interesting for a guy like Venga. You look at, we've heard so much about Venga Ione and how strongly they feel about him. In my head, he's probably the top backup at both guard spots. So you look at that too and say, okay, well, what does this mean now? Because suddenly we were all kind of focused on right tackle, and my guess is that Caden Wallace is the guy at right tackle, but now it's like, okay, you have to keep an eye on left guard as well and see how Nelson looks. James Franklin said that they felt that J.B. Nelson is maybe their most physical offensive lineman, so I think this is one of those weeks where you're going to see the depth on this roster that we haven't seen, you know, necessarily every year of James Franklin's tenure here, but they have a chance to kind of showcase some of that depth now.
Yeah, no, it's right, because, you know, they do have, you know, when you look at the guys, they have Drew Shelton, who's going to be backup, Nick Dawkins, Venga Ioane. I mean, they do have guys. They have, you know, they have probably eight guys they could play now that I think can play for them, and that is a little bit different compared to a few years.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I think they, you know, the thing we kept hearing all preseason was they wanted to figure out who that sixth offensive lineman was. But you're right, Steve. I kind of wrote about this last night. I was like, yeah, I feel like they're more at like seven or eight guys now that they feel strongly about. So, yeah, they're on solid footing there, all things considered.
When you look at that secondary, last year it was a real strength for Penn State. And obviously, Jair Brown was a big part of that because he was the quarterback of that secondary and could play in the box. Joey Porter Jr., of course, ended up being the first pick of the second round by the Steelers, 32nd overall. How do you look at this secondary despite losses like that?
I think it's still going to be really good. I think, you know, we've heard so much all offseason about Johnny Dixon, and he's a guy that Terry Smith feels really, really strongly about. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, we're all writing and talking about Kalen King, and rightfully so, but they feel just as confident in Johnny Dixon. And I think, too, you look at those safeties, and we talked with Anthony Poindexter this morning on Zoom. They feel good about what they have. You know, they won't tell us just yet who's starting, but they're going to play several guys back there. And I think we saw it last year. I mean, despite who starts, the number of snaps are going to kind of balance themselves out as the weeks go on. I mean, they feel good about Jalen Reed. They feel really good about Keaton Ellis. The Key Wheatley's ball skills are things that we've heard about time and time again. KJ Winston is a name who we saw last year but continued to pop up this season and make plays. And then you've got freshman King Mack in there as one of those guys that they've greenlit. So I would imagine, you know, he probably starts out on special teams, but then they work him in as they can on defense. But to me, Steve, and this is the thing that I go back to, and James Franklin said this initially back at Big Ten Media Days in July, they need a playmaker back there. Like, you know, Jair Brown was that ball magnet. Jaquan Brisker, the ball, you know, sometimes it just finds guys. Well, they need they need that guy, that playmaker back there, and whether it's Keaton Ellis, the Key Wheatley, or someone else, To me, that's what has to kind of start to get figured out, because it's a super stacked, super talented secondary.
Right. When you look at the wide receiver group, what do you want to see, you know, and what are the keys for you, pro and con, on the wide receiver group as you look at the first, let's say, month of the season?
Yeah, I think they feel really strongly with their top two, with Keandre Lambert-Smith, with Harrison Wallace. But then beyond that, it gets a little interesting. And the thing that I'll say is I think we're going to see Keandre Lambert-Smith move around a lot. I think we're going to see that throughout the first four games because, yes, he can play in the slot. He's got the speed to do that. But I don't think they necessarily have as much depth at certain spots. So maybe you move him around to the outside. One, it gives defenses more to think about. But two, it lets you continue to kind of establish that depth there. So maybe you do see more of a Liam Clifford guy in that kind of role, a Caden Saunders in that kind of role. They've got plenty of numbers there in that receiving core, mm-hmm. but it's figuring out what you have. And talking with Keandre Lambert-Smith Wednesday night, the thing that he said was that, hey, Malik McClain's a guy that we're not talking a ton about, but he's a big body guy that is going to find a way to help them. So a lot of guys there, Steve, but again, I think don't get so tied up in who's the starter, but look at the snap count, see what the reps look like, and then, you know, they're going to play the best guys. We know that. So yeah. Who establishes themselves, and then right. How does Dante Cephas figure in there? Because to me, mm-hmm. that's the most intriguing thing with that receiving core. And, you know, at this point in his development, making the jump here, how far behind is he? How quickly can he kind of figure this thing out to really make an impact? So, yeah, to me, the receiving core, I think we're all going to be writing a lot about of it, especially for like the first month plus of the season.
Final question. This is very open-ended, so. With all the movement that's going to be happening with realignment and so forth, mm-hmm. what's your opinion? What is the state of the game today? You know, what's the state of the quality of play in your mind and how things have played out? Where do you think the game itself is right now?
You know, I think we're seeing players who are more highly specialized, better skill-wise than they've ever been at any point in time, right? Seems like every quarterback has their own trainer, all that. The product, I think, is better than it's ever been, but it's everything okay. surrounding the product that, quite frankly, can be really sad. I mean, you look at realignment, and the next wave this past summer that we went through, like, my initial reaction was, this is sad. Like, this stinks if you're one of the teams that's going to be left behind in some of these rivalries that we're not going to be seeing as much of moving forward. Just as a fan of the sport, you don't like to see that, but I understand why it's happening. I understand the TV money and all these things, and that you want to be well-positioned to be in one of these two essentially super conferences or power conferences at this point. But yes, Steve, it's a lot to absorb, and you kind of look at it and you say, okay, well, we don't even know what the schedule next year is going to look like because we thought we had a pretty good read on it with the opponents, and then, oh, yeah, here comes Oregon and Washington. Like, yeah, next year is going to be weird, so I think fans should really enjoy this year and kind of the last year of semi-normalcy as we know it in this crazy, crazy sport.
Audrey, thank you so much. Look forward to seeing you on Saturday.
You got it, Steve. Take care.